How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, February 20th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Lol, they left us unsupervised.
Nobody was looking. We snuck in. Now we're doing a podcast. Look out, everybody. It's going to be that show. We want to start today with a little bit of news, and this is sort of it's sad news, but it's also sort of historical news, right, Charlotte?
Yeah. Sadly, we learned yesterday that over the weekend on the 17th, Larry Tesla, who was, I believe he at some point had the chief scientist title at Apple and had a load of very senior roles within Apple over a kind of 20 years of being there, and part of his, huge work included inventing cut, copy and paste of all the things. He was also involved in spinning off ARM from Apple, what I mean.
Yeah.
But sadly, he died over the weekend at age 75, 74 actually. And, you know, I think a lot of people within Apple will have come across him and been inspired by him. His story is pretty amazing, really. I did a little obituary and linked to a really good one that was on Carlton Mac, because he'd been interviewed for one of the writers there's books. Both are worth reading, because it's really worth reading Larry Tesla's story, because he was a pretty awesome guy. So every time today you think you copy and paste something, you can think of him.
Yeah, and he worked on stuff, like old school Apple sorts of things, not just Mac
Correct.
Stuff. He worked on the Lisa. He worked on the Newton message pad, I think was the other one. He did like a whole lot of stuff. I think he's local. Like, I want to say that he came from here.
I think he was
in
based
Oregon.
In California.
Yeah.
And, you know, he worked for a whole host of other tech companies. He worked for Amazon, Yahoo, 23andMe, and so on and so forth. He was a pretty awesome guy, as you say. He worked on AppleNet, Lisa, and Newton Message Pad, which he said. So, yeah, he was a pretty inspirational guy. His story is well worth reading.
Yeah, he's one of those people that just sort of happened to be in the right place at the right time more than once. And it led to all these other interesting things. And like you were saying, you know, everybody uses something of his every single day. So
correct.
Yeah,
people we can say that about.
Exactly. And he's one of the few. So definitely go check that out. It's some good stuff. I would also like to talk to you a little bit about a tip you wrote yesterday. And that tip was about which version of an album you are listening to in Apple Music, and if that's not the one you want, how to change it.
Yeah, so I wrote this up early in the week, as you say. What Apple Music has started to integrate, and I believe this was a facility that was on Beats Music before. It now makes, how can I say, so you know when you go to a record store, do you remember those? They might have like the standard issue of a CD, 12 tracks or whatever, and then there might be a deluxe version.
Yes.
With 20 tracks or a load of B-sides or whatever.
Yep.
So now on Apple Music, you can find that second version really nice and easily, because it's now appearing at the underneath the other album version.
Okay.
So literally, if such a version exists, so I on the story I wrote, I used Oasis's "What's the Story, Morning Glory."
Oh yeah, that's a good record.
So if you load up "What's the Story, Morning Glory," you get this kind of standard remastered version, and then underneath you can see a box that says other versions, and there is a deluxe edition which I think had 40 songs on it. So you can get that without doing very much effort at all, and all you have to do is click on the title of the album artwork and you get that different version. You don't even have to know it exists. If it exists, it's there.
Oh, hey, there we go. All right, so I can see,
kind of nice.
Yeah, so I pulled up "What's the Story, Morning Glory," and then I scroll down, I see the tracks, and then underneath that it says other versions, and it shows deluxe edition. So that is very, very cool, because I know that particularly for me, That's why I buy a lot. I still buy slabs of plastic. Is because because I can't always get the remastered some other way, or there's things I want to listen to that maybe aren't on Apple Music, you know, those B-sides or that imported version or whatever. And this is gonna make that very nice. So like,
what I will say is I don't know exactly how many versions there are. So for instance, I know because I have a physical copy, there is a remastered version of Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon. When I put Dark Side of the Moon into Apple Music, they only had one version, what appeared to be the original version. So I don't know if they have every version of every album ever made, but they do seem to have a very good selection of, and I assume it will increase over the years, of alternative versions to albums. So it's definitely worth looking out when you're listening to stuff on Apple Music.
Yeah, scroll down to the bottom of that track list and see what you get. That's definitely interesting to me because, like I said, I listen to a lot of stuff that comes in a remastered iteration or something like that. And it's nice to be able to have access to that stuff digitally.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And
by that, I mean on my phone. Because, like I said, I have the plastic ones at home, but I don't always have them with me. And let me tell you, Charlotte, about this B-side on this Pet Shop Boys record that I have from, you know, the mid-90s. And now we can have that conversation. It's great. So the other thing we wanted to discuss today was the iPad, and specifically treats for your iPad. I don't know if everyone's heard, Charlotte has a new one.
Yes, I'm a big, lovely fan of my new iPad, and every day I love it a little bit more because I learned some new tricks with it, and it's fabulous. But as we discussed when I was kind of thinking, which I think we did this live on air, actually, when I was thinking of what iPad I wanted, one of the things, for obvious reasons, that I was particularly keen about was writing, editing, documents, including so both documents I've written, documents other people have written, and also research. And one of the most important thing, one of the key things for that was a stylus.
Yes.
So in the Apple Store, and also I don't have an iPad Pro. I bought the newer one, the 128 GB 2019 iPad, the 10.2-inch one.
Yes.
An original Apple Pencil would work with that. The Apple Pencil 2 does not. That only works with Pros. Mm-hmm. But the original Apple Pencil does work with that. I was kind of tempted. It's £89 in the UK. I don't know how many dollars. What is it? $99 or something?
Yeah.
Cool. So it's not a huge amount of money. It's not extortionate, but it's not a spur of the moment purchase, right? It's adding whatever.
It's definitely 10%. A stop and think about kind of a purchase. Yeah, and for a lot of people, that answer is, you know, no, or at least not right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of adding 10% or whatever, isn't it, to the... No, sure. It's a bit less. It's adding a little bit, isn't it, to the cost of the overall iPad, whatever it is. It was £400, my iPad, and it's adding another 89. So
yeah,
it's not a nothing.
Right.
And so we were discussing this and you said, oh, you should check out the Logitech Crayon. It's got a lot. It's basically Apple Pencil technology and it's a lot cheaper. Also, it doesn't roll off the table.
That's true. One thing that the Apple Pencil doesn't do, or that the Logitech Crayon doesn't do, that the Apple Pencil does do, is pressure sensitivity. And the other is it doesn't roll off the table because it's shaped like a pencil with sides.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned the pressure sensitivity because that was a thing that is important to some people, but not really important to me.
Right.
Because I'm not drawing. I'm not an architect. I'm not drawing. And I'm not even, are we sure that the Apple Pencil, the original Apple Pencil, has that extensive pressure sensitivity? Because I know it was improved in the second one with the Pro.
Yes, it has it. In apps that recognize it, but in a lot of cases, but not everything. More does now recognize that than did when it initially came out. So
yeah,
there's more all around, but there you get much better sensitivity if you are an architect, if you're a person who's drawing and making money off of art that you create with your iPad. You definitely want something with pressure sensitivity.
Yeah, sure, that makes total sense. But that, for anyone who has seen me ever draw, they will know that that is entirely irrelevant to me.
Hard saying.
But what is relevant to me, as I said, is things like scrawling on documents or writing to-do lists and that kind of thing. And I found the Logitech Crown to be fantastic for that. Feels pretty nice in your hand. It looks pretty good. It's silver. It's got a coral kind of top and bottom. Looks basically like a normal pen. It, like I say, it is flat as opposed to the kind of roundy hexagonal kind of vibe the Apple Pencil has going on. But I've been really happy with it. It connects very, very easily to the iPad. I did have a little issue. It took a minute to recognize the first time I set it all up. So I turned off the iPad, did the classic, turn it off and on again.
Yes.
And everyone was happy. And I've never had a connectivity problem since. Battery life seems to be very good. Charging is easy. It's just the same cable as your iPad.
Oh, nice.
So all in all, I've been very, very happy with it. And the most important thing, it does exactly what I want. It is very simple to write with. It's very simple to highlight documents with. It just does everything I want. It fits nicely into the case I've got. It for half the price, it costs £45 as opposed to £89. It has done all the things that I want with effectively Apple Pencil technology. And if you look on Amazon, it basically lists all the numbers, the different devices that you can use it for, and it works with a wide range of iPads. I should say it works with all the 2019 iPads or later. Obviously works with the Pro, works with the Mini, works with an Air. Basically anything with iOS 12.2 or higher it will work with. And it does say Apple Pencil technology inside. And it uses all the, you know, any app that basically supports an Apple Pencil, it is going to work with, from what I can tell. I've not encountered anything that should use it that doesn't. So, for example, Apple, you know, iPad Notes, Apple Notes.
Yeah.
Works straight away with handwritten notes. Microsoft Word works with it straight away. I'm trying to think. The only one, actually, here's an interesting one, Kelly. One of the things I would have liked, and I can't see that it works, is Pixelmator on the iPad. Now, I don't know if that's a Pro functionality. I don't have the paid version of Pixelmator. But anyway, that's about the only app I've encountered where I might want it that I haven't found that it works.
Okay. Well, thank you for that review. That's fantastic. I have a friend who uses it to mark up. He's a writer, and so going through and like reviewing PDFs and things, that's what he uses it for. It's the same thing, you know, marking up a PDF. Like, I don't like this word, or that shouldn't be, and you know that sort of stuff. And he says it's a super enjoyable experience. And you know, quite honestly, part of that is probably saving a bunch of money on the pressure sensitivity that he didn't really need.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I totally get it. Kind of probably if I needed an iPad Pro, I would buy the Apple Pencil. Does that make sense? If I'm the type of person that needs a Pro, I probably am the type of person that needs the pressure sensitivity of the Apple Pencil. But as far as I can tell, that really is the only difference between the two devices.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pressure sensitivity is the primary thing. Now, have you purchased a keyboard for yours?
So that came in the case.
Okay.
I bought a case that had a keyboard in it. There should be a review on the macobserver.com. It's a Satachi. I believe it's, oh, no, it's Jellicomb I went for.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I bought a Jellicomb with a keyboard. Basically, it pulls in and out, and it's very, very nice. As I said in the review, the only thing I would like different is something to click the keyboard into.
Oh, okay.
because if you go to the macobserver.com on our YouTube channel, you can see Kelly's done a review of one of her keyboard cases that she uses. And what I liked about the one you showed is that you just go click and it stays in place.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of those kind of hooks on this one that I have.
Okay.
But it sits very nicely on the keyboard. The keyboard's really good. Again, it's Bluetooth powered.
Yep.
The case, and what I like about this is you can take out the keyboard. So when I want to read, read magazines and Apple News Plus and stuff, there's no keyboard there getting in the way, which is the thing that really attracted me to this. I wanted a detachable keyboard.
Yeah, that was one thing that I looked at with keyboard cases. Whenever I look at keyboard cases, because every once in a while I get this urge of like, I don't want to use the keyboard I have now. I just want to get something that's all convenient and all one piece. And whenever I look at them, I can never find anything that looks like it would be at least as good an experience as the one that I have. And the one that I have is, as Charlotte mentioned, I have a case that I bought for my Apple Wireless keyboard. And I just carry around the Apple Wireless keyboard when I need a keyboard. I don't need a keyboard that often. It's not very common for me to need to spend a bunch of time touch typing. I mean, like, I would do it occasionally, like at my house, or I'll take it with me in lieu of a laptop if I'm headed somewhere for the afternoon or something. But for a lot of things, like whatever it is that I'm doing, if I need my iPad to be my primary device, I don't always need a keyboard for it. But when I do, I just grab this one, drop it in my bag and head out. And it's nice because it's a very similar experience to typing on my MacBook Pro keyboard. I have the pre-butterfly, the chiclet version. So it's not my favorite keyboard, but it's way better than the keyboard they're trying to pass off now. So that's one thing that I really like about it is it's the typing experience I'm already familiar with. And when iPads first came out, they were smaller. So if you wanted a keyboard case, then the keyboard was smaller too. And that made it rough.
So just a couple of quick things to finish off with this particular keyboard.
Yeah.
One, it's backlit and you can change the color of the backlighting. That's
nice.
Fun. Also, it makes a really satisfying clacking sound.
Ooh. I do like a loud keyboard.
So yeah, I've been really happy with it because I bought the iPad as basically an iPad replacement. Sorry, a laptop Chromebook? Replacement.
Yeah.
And so I always want a keyboard out and about. Even if I'm not using it, I want to have that option. Mm-hmm. And so this worked really well for me.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. The other thing that I will say that I liked about just buying the case for the keyboard, the Apple Wireless keyboard that I have, and you can go see all of this on... as Charlotte said, on the YouTube channel. One of the things that I really like about it is that it's not just the typing experience I'm used to, but it doesn't matter what screen I have hooked up to it. So I don't have to learn how to type on the new keyboard case that I had to buy because I bought a new iPad. So this is literally the keyboard option that I have used as long as I've had an iPad, and I started out with the first generation iPad. So... And it's actually this exact same keyboard the entire time, too. So that's like, so this keyboard has many miles on it. And now I'm just able to preserve it a little better when I take it with me places because I got this case for it. And you can go see, you know, the good bit about the case is that it also turns into a stand for whatever screen it is you're typing on, which makes it very, very handy. So generally, you will be able to hear Charlotte and I tell you more about iPad treats as we get them. Or if anybody else ends up with a bit of kit that they've fallen in love with, then we'll make sure and talk about it here. If you have tips on what keyboard you're using or keyboard case you're using, particularly if it has a nice clacky keyboard, we definitely want to hear about it. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave a comment in the show notes. Charlotte, thank you so much for coming by to chat with me today.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your accessory recommendations, which always tend to be very good.
Yeah, it's one of the advantages of having this kind of gear is you get to try out a lot of things or hear about a lot of things that other people are using. And it makes it really nice to have those recommendations. So thanks. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.